to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Joe.
Intern.
And this is episode 174.
Yep.
On the drive to 2000.
It'll be a long drive to 2000. I just found out in our little interim there while we were waiting for connectivity issues to resolve themselves.
Gosh, I don't know. The soundboard does not like my new computer again.
We made it work, though, so it's okay. Yeah. Fritz Weaver died today. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, he was 90, but he died today.
Who?
Fritz Weaver.
I know that name.
The moment of 80s horror is Fritz Weaver trying to describe to Hal Holbrook what happened when the monster ate his intern in Creepshow. I don't even know what it was.
I know that guy. He was on Hollywood Squares.
It was a bad week. We lost Mrs. Brady.
Yes.
Yes, Wes Anderson's gone too. 2016 has just been reaping a bloody swath through entertainment.
And Fidel Castro and Ron Glass from Barney Miller.
That's right, Ron Glass as well this weekend. Not good.
That's not the same guy.
That's right, and that's we lost Weaver. The last surviving 20th century dictator, Fidel Castro.
Right.
You know what, Joe? I think I met Fritz Weaver years ago. I'll have to check for my stuff.
You might have, because he's somebody who did a lot of appearances. He showed up at TIFF a lot.
Yeah, I think I might have met him in New York City at a play. He looks familiar, so I think so.
Sounds very likely, because he did a lot of off-Broadway stuff, too.
Yeah, I was off-Broadway when I met him. I remember where that theater was. It was not a nice area.
Well, who's the other Weaver guy that's related to Sigourney Weaver? He wore this hat, pork pie hat type thing.
Oh, you're thinking, no, that's a different guy.
Thank you.
And that's not actually related to Sigourney Weaver. He's related to Rosanna Arquette, and his name is Cliff Arquette. And he was Doodles Weaver on Hollywood Squares, which you're thinking of.
That's the one, yes.
Wow, that's pretty good, Joe.
He's Rosanna Arquette's grandfather.
Oh, because the connection was always to Sigourney Weaver, I was told, but I guess I was wrong.
Sigourney Weaver is an adopted name.
Really? That's not her real name?
No, her actual name is Susan.
Okay, I'm looking this one up now.
Desperately,
she took the name Sigourney from The Great Gatsby.
Huh.
Mm. Yeah. I'm just a font of useless knowledge.
No, I love it.
Movies?
So I know what you were doing, like watching Hollywood Squares all those years. So was I.
Oh, dude. And I loved Hollywood Squares.
Oh, my God. Joe's right. Her real name's Susan Alexandria.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
And nobody's related to Dennis
Weaver. And relatives, Doodle Weaver, Uncle Joe is spot on.
Dennis Weaver, but none of these people are.
No. So, yeah.
Wow, look at that. Who knew?
Simon, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. Why do you talk over me all the time, then?
Sorry.
Sorry.
It's just his nature.
You're a soft talker, Kevin.
Do you guys want to start with a movie, or do you want to talk about what we've been up to?
Whatever you would like. Talk what you're up to.
What have you guys done? It's been a while since we've done one of these. What have you guys been up to?
I've been watching a lot. I've been pounding back a lot of 20s and 30s movies from TCM because they've been programming a lot of them.
Nice.
And I say pounding back, literally, like, some of them are long slogs, but they're entertaining. But they're long slogs. And you start to recognize all these character actors who are in everything. Like, literally everything. So it's... And strange enough, you start to recognize them by name. You watch three movies in a row, and the same guys in the same movie. It's like, whoa, okay.
You're watching old Westerns again, Joe.
What's that?
Old Westerns, I find that. I'm like, I know that guy. Same shopkeeper, every movie.
Well, I the big thing for me was when I was watching Maltese Falcon recently, and I realized that Barton McLean was in it, and... what's his name from pretty well every John Ford Western's in it as well too, but is a rare, really young actor. And so it's like, oh, he was an asshole that early. Okay.
Kevin,
what do you guys been up to?
Not much for me. Just watching silent films, Sunrise of Two Humans.
Nice.
Battleship, Pokemon. Thank you. I watched that Tempkin, finally. Yeah. We're working on my Sight and Sound 250 movie list.
If you watch Battleship Potemkin, you should watch The Untouchables again. because there's big bits of the Untouchables that were borrowed from Potemkin.
Well, maybe after Intolerance.
The baby carriage sequence at the end especially is very Potemkin.
I have to watch Intolerance, Joe.
Intolerance is a long slog of a movie, Simon.
Three hours. It's sitting there. It's next to my list.
The Big Parade is another good one. I recommend it. It's long. It's long as Methuselah. So, yeah.
I've been building my fort.
He hasn't been watching any of his fort.
Excuse me.
Is it largely pillows? What's it made of?
DVDs.
Okay.
Kevin?
Fortifying for the winter.
Yes.
He's just hoarding DVDs like a squirrel.
I know.
Are you ready for my latest find, Kevin?
No, I want to tell you about what I've been up to.
Okay, what have you been up to, Kevin?
I've been in like 6 cities in 5 weeks or whatever it's been.
I've read that.
I follow you on Facebook, so I'm well up to date. Well, I know anyway, you tell me, so.
Yeah, I mean, I went to New York, and then I was in Oshawa, and then I was in Tampa, and I was in Vancouver, and I was in London, Ontario.
Wow.
All for shows. So it's been a busy month and a half.
How was the London, Ontario show?
It's a nice little show. The attendance wasn't there, I think. I think they wanted better attendance.
Oh.
But other than that, I would say it's a nice little show. It's a great venue. You know, the hotel's nice, so.
How many people?
Great restaurants. Sorry?
How many people did they have at the show?
I have no idea. I would estimate below 5,000.
Oh.
Which is not the greatest, so.
It sounds like a lot, but it's not for a show.
No, for a show of that size, you need to have good, like a solid attendance.
Yeah.
I mean, it could even have been 2,000. It's just once you get over a certain threshold, how do you predict? You're not in there calculating the volume and the space. And
right.
It wasn't, the aisles were not particularly busy, but there were people there. And they weren't necessarily shopping as much as we would have liked. But again, the people that run it are nice people. They're working hard. We did the Schuster's there. I did the Schuster's there. And, you know, it was okay. Like I said, I have no complaints about it. I just wish there were more people. And they're facing a problem in that they have two competing shows in London. And, you know, they're sort of fighting against one another.
That seems to be pretty typical, these sorts of things.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I experienced a little of that in Tampa. Where the Tampa people are not happy that Fan Expo is doing something in there, so.
Right.
But c'est la vie. I mean, we were there. We got the attendance and definitely got the people in that we wanted to make it worthwhile coming back, so.
Perfect. That's all you need to hear. You can't worry about the other guy. It's his problem.
No, but they were worried about us. I mean, one of the promoters was, like, hiding outside counting people. And then,
how's he hiding?
He's in a bush somewhere.
He's in the bush.
He was literally head counting people as they walked in on Saturday morning, and then went online to declare the show a failure because he didn't count enough people. So and he did this at the show opened at 10, and he declared it a failure at like 10:05. And then when I saw it at 11 o'clock, the freaking hall was packed.
Right.
So clearly, you know, if he'd waited, it was a slower roll in. So.
The waiting was inconvenient for him, Kev.
I guess the sun was too bright in his eyes in the bushes. He had to get out.
It all turns into hockey and football excuses, right, Simon?
Yeah.
The other thing is that, you know, when you do something like that, you're trying to deter people from going down.
Of course.
So if they read that and they say, oh, it's a disaster, I better not go. It's not worth it. So I had to respond and say, it's not a disaster. Here are pictures. You know, come on down. Have fun. Oh, some guy's like, oh, there's nothing for kids. Yes, there is. Here's the link. You know, like, that's what the show lacks, is they need to have someone stepping up and saying, hey, you know what? Here's a misconception. Clear it up. And people love to put out BS, so.
That's what social media is for, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of like the extra features Twitter account?
But I don't have no idea about that, but.
hold on.
Reviewing movies.
We have 5,022 followers.
You're kidding me.
No, 5,029 followers.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, and we only follow 3,300.
How many Indian websites did you pay to get those followers?
None. And not one. That's all me, thank you.
Okay.
That's me working my butt off.
And I'm not being discriminatory. That's where the sites are located that will get you followers if you want to pay them.
No, I didn't pay. Why would I pay people?
I don't know. So you can have 5,000 followers.
No, I work
so
on
it. So it's an impressive thing to say you have 5,000 followers. So
it's to a me lot
that
of work.
You built this, that's amazing. Congratulations, Simon. It is pretty awesome.
Phenomenal.
I want to get 6,000, but I want to get 10,000 in 2 years, so.
Yeah.
That's great.
I keep working it, but the message is weird, because I get retweets on weird movies now that I tweet about.
Well, I liked our little back and forth about Pete's Dragon, actually. I thought that was entertaining.
Yes, I'll talk about anything. But Joe actually reads my Twitter. I know he does.
I do.
And Joe, it's there every day, isn't it?
Is that the original Pete's Dragon or the new one?
Yes.
Yeah, every day there's a different movie. You can't say I stay in one genre.
Yeah, we talked about the original Pete's Dragon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's good. Are we going to talk about the new Doctor Strange movie, Kev?
Let's do that.
Is that a segue?
I think so.
I think it is.
Yes,
I think
it is. So Doctor Strange came out, and it stars our good friend Benedict Cumberbatch as the good Doctor Stephen Strange. And let me just call up IMDb, unless someone else has IMDb open.
No, I could have opened it if you told me.
I can't get my phone to work in here.
Let me see if I can get it open.
I can give it to Bob. Yeah. You can have my phone. It'll open.
Tilda Swinton's in it. Rachel McAdams is in it.
Benedict Cumberbatch. You might want to mention him.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
If
you were listening to your own podcast.
And Mads Mikkelsen, of course.
I said that.
And Michael Stuhlbarg, who doesn't use very much, but is quite good. It's quite a good actor. He was.
Did we forget Mordo, guys?
Big part
is in Boardwalk Empire.
Mordo.
Yeah, Boardwalk Empire.
Mordrew.
And the director's name is Scott Derrickson. The actor that plays Mordo. Is Chiwetel Ejiofor.
I love him. Great actor.
He's really good.
Met him a few years ago at the film fest. Nobody cared. Not a soul was there.
Like so
two people
Doctor
outside
Strange,
the door.
So this movie is, you know, kind of like Ant-Man. It's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. Doctor Strange, to those of us who read comics, everybody knows who Doctor Strange is, but the general public is not as familiar with Doctor Strange, so this is another chance of them to reach out and establish a new character that ties in with a lot of what they're going to be doing in the next phase of Marvel with the Infinity Gems and all the Avengers stuff. So now we get the introduction of magic into the Marvel Universe. So far they've avoided the idea of magic up until this point.
Yes, up until this point, magic was just science we didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. And in a sense, with this movie, they're trying to imply that that's also the case.
Yes.
To a certain extent, that it is kind of like science we just don't get. It's a way of doing science and moving the elements of the universe around in such a way.
Yes.
So, you know, he's not necessarily quoting spells, which I think is something that Doctor Strange should be doing.
Yes.
But he definitely has the ability to do things with hand gestures and mental conditioning and so forth that allows him to do things like to access the whole mirror dimension, which is sort of you can isolate where you are and into a walled off area, but it reflects patterns of the world around you.
Yes.
While you're in there. So this is an interesting film. I mean, it's basically the Stan Lee, Steve Ditko story from the origin of Doctor Strange, fleshed out a little bit more to add in a little bit more melodrama, and a few other characters, like new characters like Caecilius.
And also providing a little more background for characters like Morpho rather than making him initially evil and staying evil. So,
yeah, like
comics is pretty well all he was.
Like, Baron Mordo was like the traditional Eurotrash villain.
Yes.
You know, like a little bit like Dracula.
Well, you knew he was evil because he used a cigarette holder when he smoked.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the kind of character, like Doctor Doom, like the Red Skull.
He's the kind of one guy that would lounge around in a big house coat with a furry fringe around it.
Yes.
and ruminate over the destruction of the universe.
And probably sounded like James Mason, but with a Romanian accent.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, anyway, so we're introduced to the Doctor. He has his accident. I mean, I thought Cumberbatch had got the character down right.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I like that there were elements that, you know, you don't embrace in the comic that came forth in this film, and that he's a doctor. So he took a Hippocratic oath. He doesn't want to kill people. So as a magician, he still doesn't want to kill people. And it's a major thing when he has to do something which ultimately leads to the death of an enemy. That affects him, and he makes a vow that he's not going to allow that to happen any further. He's going to block or do what he can to, you know, protect life.
Also, something that I thought was really interesting about the picture is that they tied into the fact that he had a very analytical mind, and that he had a photographic memory, which also goes to how he can remember all this stuff when he's using his magic. Which is a nice touch, I thought, and the fact that he's the one who uncovers the big secret in the third act of the movie, and basically makes things aware to people who've been doing things a certain way for about 30 years, is very interesting as well too. I'm not making any spoilers, but I suspect Simon will climb right into those.
Oh, most likely, yes. I also like the fact that Wong was one of a warrior class, a magician warrior class that are part of this. So he's not a manservant. He's just he's another warrior that's being trained by the Ancient One.
Yes.
I liked also that they put they made use of the sanctuary or the sanctum sanctorum.
Yes.
and that it's one of three bases around the world, right?
Yes.
And those three protect us from invaders from other dimensions, like Dormammu's dark dimension.
Yes.
And Dormammu's dark dimension was beautifully Ditko-y.
Yes, for sure. I mean, things with spikes and...
Yeah, the Stargate sequence at the beginning, actually, what do you want to call it? The Frank Quitely moments. When he first gets his third eye opened, pretty fun too. But
fantastic! I thought this was beautiful to look at. This was a trip, and Doctor Strange should be trippy to a certain extent.
Yes.
And I thought this was some of the most inventive use of computer graphics with the whole New York kaleidoscope scene. Because in the trailers, I'm like, what is this? Like, dimensions are folding in on each other? But no, it's refracting space in the mirror dimension. So it's almost like projections on a wall.
Yeah.
So
dangerously Inception-y in the trailers. Yes. That was making me not happy. But I was very pleased to see things go the way. I wish there had been a monster, some monsters, something demonic than people. But so that Strange would have been a little stranger, maybe something slimy at some point. But it's not a bad introduction for people. You kind of gotta. I hate saying this because I always complain about this in the DC movies, but you kind of gotta walk people through the first one. This was very effective.
And I thought, some scenes were lifted right out of the comics, like the scene where he's on the operating table and his astral form is directing the doctor.
Yeah, Yvonne right there, man.
I love that when he used that astral form.
And I also like the fact that the Cloak of Levitation has personality.
Yes.
Which is great.
Well, each item has personality. You get a hint of the Eye of Agamotto having a personality as well. So,
And spoilers, it ties in with the whole Infinity Stones.
Yeah, they dropped that very carefully and very quietly.
So, I mean, overall, this is definitely one of my favorite films of the year. I was thoroughly entertained and like, again, another home run for Marvel.
So how'd you hate it, Simon?
Yeah, wow, that was a lot of gushing. I think I just threw up. I just thought it was dull. I thought it was okay, but not great. You loved it, Kevin. The storyline should have been better.
What?
I thought it was very heavy CGI. It really didn't go anywhere.
I thought it went all sorts of places.
I liked the action, but I thought there should be more of it. I thought Benedict was great, but I thought Wong was good, but it just didn't have enough for me.
Okay.
I wanted better action scenes.
Okay.
But there was very heavy CGI, and that bugged me.
I thought there was a nice kind of blending of martial arts and magic.
I like the martial arts, but I'm such a big Chinese action movie, they weren't up to my standard of what I prefer.
Well, this is true, I think that for people who are accustomed to kind of straight Hong Kong action pictures, this is fairly light as far as that stuff is concerned.
Well, that's the way I looked at it, because I prefer, yeah, like, Legends of Red Dragon, I'll watch old Jackie Chan films, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Bob?
I have to agree with Kevin, because I really enjoyed it. I like when they introduced the cloak.
I like the cloak. When the cloak comes to him, it just
floats up and then taps him on the shoulder.
I didn't know
that. He looks at it and says, "Why?" And then I like the first time that the astral form was, the astral self was used. Like, Tilda Swinton's character pushes it out of him, and he goes, and he's flying back, and he looks, and he goes, and then he comes back, and he goes, "How did you do that?" Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as for the CGI, like, you needed it because in this type of film, because of what, you can't do what they do in the comics with Doctor Strange unless you do have CGI, because they can't do it.
I see that, but I thought it was too CGI heavy.
I don't think so. But
I didn't think it was heavy enough.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, see, that we're different. But that's why I didn't hate the film, but I was okay.
This is what, right now, if nothing else comes out, it's one in my top 10.
You can keep it right there.
No, because there's two other films that came out that I'm going, oh my gosh.
What, Trolls?
No, Trolls put me to sleep. I'm sitting there watching it, I'm going, and then I wake up and I go, what happened? Because I'm missing a half an hour of it.
Kevin, yes. I have a question. In the Stingers, Thor comes to visit him, correct?
Yeah, it's a scene from Thor Ragnarok.
Okay, when we left Thor last time, Loki was Odin.
Yes.
So does Thor know Loki's Odin?
No, he doesn't.
No. Okay, so you remember how there was a Stinger scene at the end of Ant-Man, which had Winter Soldier had been captured by Falcon and Steve Rogers?
Yes.
All right, so that was in the middle of the film. A whole bunch of stuff happened before that to the point where they had him in and he was starting to remember who he was. So if you think of that and you say, okay, something happened where Thor goes to Asgard and discovers that Loki has been impersonating Odin and that Odin is gone. And so Thor takes Loki and goes on a search for Odin.
Okay.
Okay, now somewhere along the way, they're going to encounter the Hulk, and it's going to become a buddy movie with the Hulk.
Okay.
Which is, and there are scenes right out of Planet Hulk.
Yes.
For that.
Cool.
And they've actually shown the armor that Hulk will be wearing on the alien world.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so if you've read Planet Hulk, there's a sequence where Beta Ray Bill shows up as part of the action. Mm-hmm. You think of that, and this is where Thor comes into it. Thor is put into the gladiatorial match, and then we'll have to convince the Hulk, and then they'll team up to go to the next level.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I'm going back to the Doctor Strange movie. You know how in the comics Doctor Strange was part of, if not, he started the Defenders? Will they introduce the Defenders at any point in this, like, Phase 3, Phase 4?
Well, no, we know that the Defenders is going to be the street-level heroes in the Netflix universe.
Right. Oh, so they won't,
it's not going to be Doctor Strange's Defenders of Submariner, Hulk, and Silver Surfer and Doctor Strange.
Yeah, but
Marvel being one big happy family, I would not be surprised if we see the Netflix actors playing their characters in the big slam down picture.
What about
is a rumor that Cumberbatch will star in one or two of the episodes of Defenders.
But what about forms?
That would be very interesting.
What about?
Well, that also ties into Shambhala and a whole lot of the whole idea for Iron Fist as well. So that
what's the city? It's Kung.
Kung Lin.
Yes. So at some point we have to learn about the secret society in the mountains where they're training kung fu warriors.
Yes.
So
that's no surprise that might be where Wong comes from.
Okay, hold on, guys. I have something to say. Hold on.
I haven't finished there was two parts to that question regarding the Defenders. Like, I know there's, like, the Defenders with Iron Fist, etc. But what about Nighthawk, Valkyrie? There's a whole bunch of Defender characters.
You may see Valkyrie show up in a Thor movie, but you're not going to see her show up in the Defenders.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
But you might see Hellcat
show up in.
That's another one. Hellcat.
Nighthawk show up in S.H.I.E.L.D. because Nighthawk is basically Marvel's Batman, but as well as Moon Knight. But because you can't have enough Batman, as DC has shown. So you might get everybody eventually, but it's not going to be in the next go around.
No, and look for the Defenders to have ancillary characters like Misty Knight be a big part of it, and Colleen Wing, the daughters of the Dragon.
We already have Patsy Walker.
And she wants to be a superhero.
I watched. Yeah. I mean, like, every time I see a show which isn't often in the Marvel universe part, I'm going, and I see a character they bring on, and I'm going, hey, oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other stinger with Mordu, it makes me think of I just reread all of the Ditko Doctor Strange stories. There's a very long story arc where Mordu ousts Doctor Strange and casts him into the Dark Dimension.
Right.
And he has to find his way back, and Mordu basically is in charge of the world, well, as far as magic goes. His operatives are handling everything.
Right.
They could have some fun with that, and that would be a way to introduce Klee, who I think is an important part of, the Doctor Strange lore is.
Yeah, Klee and Umar are very much a big deal as far as that goes.
So, and then I liked the look of Dormammu in this one. It was weird. He had the appearance of the firehead, but instead of having a head face of flames, it was like almost like beveled,
it was like corduroy.
I did enjoy the look. I loved it.
I think they also fleshed out Wong a bit because, like, when I read it in the comics, like, he wasn't as involved as he was
Wong
in this movie.
Wong's basically the butler in the comics. You're right.
Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that he was more like in.
Well, I think, you know, you can't, there's a strong imperialist element to the original Doctor Strange stuff, where you look at, the Chinese manservant, and he goes to the Orient and trains under the Ancient One. So I think this, of course, backfired a bit with this film, is that they tried to change things up by having the Ancient One be a woman, a white woman. Like, to some that was insulting that they removed an Asian role, strong Asian role, and replaced it. But on the other hand, the Ancient One is kind of a stereotypical Fu Manchu type character, and I could see why they would have trouble with that. And there was also some concern over how the film would play in China if it had a Mongolian Ancient One, like in the comics, or a Tibetan.
Right.
I actually think she does a good job.
Well, given that the movie ends in Hong Kong, I think China's going to be pretty happy.
For sure, yeah. So I think, as I said, we'll see what happens down the line, right? But, so far this is a good start. And it definitely seems to be bringing Doctor Strange into the Marvel Universe, because he'll be a big part of the Thor movie, as we know.
It also reminded me of how when Stan comes up with a story idea, he tends to stick with it, because the bargain with Dormammu that Strange makes is not unlike the bargain that Reed Richards made with Galactus the first time he showed up.
That's true.
Yes. Yep. So basically Stan is like, well, how do you deal with a godlike character? Self-sacrifice. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I said, I think it's a great start. I know you were bored with it, Simon, but, you know, what can we do?
I didn't get bored. I thought it was okay.
Okay.
He's just disdainful of our praise of it, that's all.
Right.
I'm not praising it. It's not bad.
You're a little too praising.
Yeah, that's right.
Simon's the guy that likes to shit on everybody's parade.
I don't. Okay, Cap, I just want to give you a 33.
Who are you and what have you done to Simon?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Cap, why don't we go right to Return of the Caped Crusader, because we have 33 minutes left.
All right, Batman, Return of the Caped Crusader.
And then Luke Cage at the end.
All right. So basically they reunited Adam West and Burt Ward for an animated film, and Julie Newmar.
Okay.
and sort of in DC's current animated house style with nods to the 60s. There's an interesting plot where the main villains, the Joker, the Riddler, the Penguin, and Catwoman have all teamed up to take on, they have an interesting plan for how to get rid of Batman and have their own Gotham City.
The World League of Evil.
Kind of, yeah, but not quite. They never mentioned the World League. Did you see it, Joe?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you're going to love it.
I have a feeling I will.
I loved it.
I went to see it in the theater. They had a one-night-only showing at Cineplex Films. So Tyrone and I went.
You did. You posted on Facebook.
And as you know, Tyrone is the biggest Batman 66 guy you could possibly imagine.
Him and Wally Wingert. That's about it, you know.
So. Yeah.
Hold on. I want to back. I'm the guy with the Batman 66 autograph collection.
Okay.
You don't have the bat shield. You didn't buy it.
No, I don't buy memorabilia, but I
own... You put on the cowl, the belt, the gloves?
Yeah, but I have all the photos signed. I have a Burt Ward. I have an Adam West. I have all three Catwoman. I have a Stephen Brown.
We're not saying you're not a Batman 66 fan. We're just saying that you're not insane about it.
I'm not insane. No, I don't buy things.
Have you seen my mantelpiece?
I have.
My Batman 66 statue mantelpiece?
They're very nice. My wife would kill me if I don't have them.
Okay. Anyway, listen, we're all fans of the show. It's a great show, and it's probably the best Batman on film, in my opinion. But it was certainly the most fun.
Yes.
And they captured the spirit of that quite well, I thought, in this film. Does someone else want to talk about it?
No, go ahead. I can listen to you. I can talk.
You saw it, though, right?
Of course I did.
And did Bob see it?
Bob, did you see? Yeah, you saw Batman: Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Yes, I did. I loved it.
Tell us about it. What did you like about it?
Well, I kept noticing when I was watching it. Out of the corner of my eye, I had to rewatch it again the second time. But I kept on noticing different things. Well, okay, I didn't have to rewatch it for this, but when Batman gets hit on the head, he sees Catwoman, but he sees three of them. And they turn into the exact three. I'm going,
Why would that happen?
It's Lee Merriweather,
Eartha Kitt,
and the other
Julie Newmar.
Then when he's in the Batcave, I saw them drive into the Batcave, and in the background a little bit. This is what I had to stop and look at because they had two Batman uniforms hanging up, and I'm going, wait a minute, that looks like because one of them didn't have the round bat symbol, and it just had the bat. And I'm going, that's cool, because I never saw that in the show, but I saw that at different places. And then they have
if you see the screen tests for the Batman show, the costume that Robert Wagner and Adam West wore for the screen tests.
Lyle Wagner was supposed to be Batman.
Oh,
yeah. They were. It was the old 50s bat. It was the big bat with a no circle around it.
Oh,
yeah. It's based on the serials.
Mm-hmm. And the ears were more bat cowl like, straight up.
But the only thing that distracted for me was like hearing Adam West's voice now.
Yes.
Character then, like it just sort of distracted me because you could hear his voice like. Being the age he is now, in the age he's supposed to be.
Yeah. It's a little weak. It's not as strong as it was in the 60s, but it's still noticeably Adam West, and you roll with it, because, hey, it's Adam West.
Well, I gave it that. I thought, why not?
Dana Gould, who's a writer for The Simpsons, has a podcast, and he's talking about the fact that they had Adam in to do flashback sequence for a Batman episode that Homer was watching, where Paul Lynde was the Scoutmaster, and basically they wanted to have Adam do a couple of like drop in lines that they could use for when Batman was struggling against his bonds, and he said, okay, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, if you could just say that you're struggling against your bonds, and Adam literally said, struggling in vain. bonds. He was strong.
apparently,
like, okay, what does he need? But he loves going back to the character, despite the fact that, you know, it's literally hung around his neck like an albatross for 50 years now. But yeah. he loves the character, and the fact that he did the animated film is just an indication of that as well, too, because he can
needs
say
cash,
no. I mean,
man.
So much going on.
He needs cash. He can only melt the circuit for so long.
Yeah, but he's got Family Guy cash. It's not something that Burt has.
So here's the thing, right? He's pretty much done with the convention circuit. They've announced that after this year, and maybe make a couple of makeup appearances, that they're pretty much done.
Right.
He doesn't need the money, nor does Burt. So they have careers and lives, and they have money. And they're doing another one of these.
I know, with William Shatner.
Awesome.
Yeah, William Shatner's going to be Two-Face.
And Harlan Ellison's lost trip.
I've heard of that. That's heavenly. That's right.
There was something. There was something else I thought of, and I just remembered. You know, when they fight, and they have, and in the original show they have like the POW, and the other ones, they've added like, fight balloons to it, and I'm going. And then when they have the space station, and they turn off the gravity, and you hear a sploof, and I'm going, oh, okay. Or not hear sploof, but you see sploof.
Then rip, and then torn.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, rip and torn.
Well, while we're talking briefly about Batman, and while we're talking briefly about Shatner playing Two-Face, which, as I said, is news to me as of literally 5 seconds ago.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No, that's not a problem. Apparently, had ABC not scrapped the sets for...
I know. It would have came back.
They went on to NBC, and it would have been done there for another couple of years. And apparently... not only was Poison Ivy's costume designed for the TV series, so she would have been in it, but Two-Face would have been a character, and apparently Frank Sinatra wanted to play him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So Sinatra playing Two-Face and Harvey Dent.
I've heard two things. I've heard Sinatra, and I've heard Clint Eastwood was also interested.
So have I. Yeah.
So, it would have been awesome if they had. So they're playing off of Harlan Ellison actually had written that Two-Face episode. Which
that's cool.
So they actually, DC adapted it. Jose Luis Garcia Lopez did the art for it.
Right.
It was a one-shot. It came out about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And it was fun. But it was basically, you know, Two-Face in the world of Batman 66.
Right.
And in the Batman 66 comic series, they've also introduced, what are you waving your hand about? Simon, you want to cut?
No, go ahead. Bob's distracting me.
All right. So they wanted to. They've introduced Harley Quinn. They've introduced like the Batman 66 version of Harley Quinn.
Right.
They've introduced Poison Ivy. They've introduced a whole bunch of like the Ventriloquist. They've introduced all these other great villains that are part of the Batman series now into the 66 lore.
Right.
But in 66 versions, and the thing that I appreciated the most about this was the shots that were taken towards all the other versions of Batman that have come out on film since.
Yes.
So, like, he's in the space station, and Catwoman has given him this potion, and it's supposed to turn him evil, but it doesn't turn him evil. It just makes him angry and more Batman, more extreme. And so he's on the space station. He says, hey, Joker, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Michael Keaton line from Batman the movie.
Right.
And then there are like little things like, oh, Riddler, this space station is an operating table and I am the surgeon.
Right.
You know, like from Batman the Dark Knight. And then, towards the end, there's a great little bit where Catwoman's like, oh, Batman, he's like, turn yourself in, Catwoman, you know, whatever. And she's like, no, Batman, why don't you just come with me and we'll go to the French Riviera and we'll drink tea at sunset. And we'll have a wonderful life in luxury, and then Robin goes, holy unsatisfying endings, Batman.
Oh,
there's no way anyone would ever believe that you'd be willing to do that.
I was crying.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just, you know, awesome. Awesome little bits, and the writing was so clever on it. I was shocked. I literally was shocked that the DC animated line could produce something of such cynicism and fun.
Was it a Jeff Parker thing? Who did
no.
No, I don't remember who wrote the animated film. I have to take a look. I've got IMDb open.
That sounds like Parker to me.
It does, actually. I agree with you.
But I don't think he did. Return of the Caped Crusaders, and it's written by... it's not moving very quickly here. All right. Michael Jelinek, James Tucker.
Jelinek's name sounds familiar from comics. I don't know if I've seen him from anywhere else.
No, these are mostly DC staff writers.
Right.
Yeah, this guy totally is a DC staff writer.
Oh, and Joe, the opening sequence is brilliant. So it's classic Batman covers from the history of Batman up until 66.
Okay.
With animated and with, like, introducing Robin, the Boy Wonder, and Robin comes leaping through the picture from Batman 40 and Detective 27 and a Catwoman cover and a Riddler cover and a Joker cover. Nice. It's all classic stuff. It's all like the playing cards cover where Batman's punching the Joker.
Oh, nice.
The guy that played the Joker was perfect. He sounded like so much like
the Romero?
Yeah, that it was eerie. He had that same kind of Irish brogue kind of thing, and you know, everybody was dead on as far as the voices go. Of course, Catwoman being perfect. Oh, and my other favorite part is Batman replaces Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara, and Commissioner Gordon looks like more like our traditional Commissioner Gordon with the mustache,
right?
Because they didn't get the likeness rights, but he's basically.
It's weird to think that Neil Hamilton's family wouldn't get the likeness rights. That's so strange to me. Because, and it's not like he's making any money off of the Warner Brothers silent movies that you know, but anyway.
Yeah. So, basically, Batman just says, I don't understand what it is you actually do, so I'm replacing you.
Nice.
And when he's angry, and he's just, then they don't know what to do. So he just basically takes their hats and puts them on clones of himself. It ends up in a world where you can clone Batman. Batman clones himself to make the complete ordered world.
Nice.
The perfect world. And he goes to far extremes. But it's, and Anne Harriet is great. And there's so much gay humor in it.
Sure.
About the fishing trips and all that stuff. That is just, there's a whole bunch of like hidden stuff. And I just, like, I couldn't stop laughing in the movie theater.
Right.
And Harriet's like, I finally figured out what it is you boys do when you're away.
Oh my God, that was hysterical.
They're like, what? What are you talking about? And she's, and, you know, just this whole, like, little bits and, like, little side cuts and, classic. I can't recommend it enough, Joe. It is, if you're a fan of Batman 66, which I know you are, you're going to love it.
Yes.
So.
I was leery to approach it because I know what the DC animated films have been like so far for me, and they've been not very satisfying. So this would be a nice change, I think.
There's a real underlying meanness to the DC universe now, the New 52.
Yeah.
And while there is a kind of a, there's a cynical streak behind this film, but it's more like poking fun at the harsh reality of the current DC stuff.
Right.
And there's still lots of great moments, like, well, Robin, we have to cross at the crosswalk, you know, like, because of safety, and we also want to set a good example.
Citizenship's our first duty, Robin.
To those who might see us.
In the middle of the night.
Simon, what did you say? You haven't heard much about this.
I'm just letting you guys bond. I agree with almost everything you guys have said.
Yeah.
I thought when Batman went evil was a little much for me.
Are you okay?
What? What do you mean? Kevin?
You're cutting out.
Oh, am I?
No. Yeah, your mic went a little wonky. It's okay. Keep going.
Oh, that's great. I was on board to everything until they turned Batman evil, and I thought this is running a little long at that point.
Okay.
But I liked everything. I loved everything. I thought the joke Riddler was a little off. The Riddler voice wasn't right.
Right.
At all. And the Penguin voice wasn't right in any way.
They didn't go with a Meredith voice or a Gorshin voice for those guys.
Kevin, what'd you think?
I thought they were all okay.
They were okay. I thought the Joker was perfect.
I don't think Penguin was okay. It's the Riddler.
I want more.
The guy that did the Riddler voice, I thought was okay.
I thought he was okay, but the Penguin didn't have that Penguin stuff I like. I thought it was solid. I really did enjoy it.
Cool.
I thought the whole Anne Harriet Gay thing, like you said, was hysterical. I was crying for most of that stuff.
Just the whole, like, oh, I know where you boys go on your fishing trips.
Yeah, I was like, what? Wow.
You, what do you know about this?
What do you know? What? What's going on? Oh, Bruce. I'm like crying. I'm like, yeah, that's old Batman.
It was all set up like, oh, I think that I know that you guys are Batman and Robin, but no, it wasn't like that at all. It was like, I know what you boys are doing.
Exactly. It wasn't because you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And what's and up then, with him firing Alfred?
He gets pretty mean to her too.
He does, and he fires Alfred.
There's a reason. Yes. There's a reason he did that.
I also thought it was funny that Steven Weber from Wings was the voice of Alfred.
Steven Weber hasn't done anything in the years. That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, nobody watched Wings when it was on.
Well, Steven Weber's done a bunch of stuff.
Really? I'm looking him up. You keep going.
Steven Weber's part of a big, he's part of a big Borschtfeld family, too. He's part of a big, his dad was a booker for clubs in New York State in the 60s. But he, he was also in the TV movie version of The Shining, Simon.
There's my point.
Saw that. Steven he's a good actor. Weber. I like him.
I do, too. And he does a good job as Alfred.
Yeah.
Sandman
on Wings.
There we go. 136 Are you playing movies? Things. Oh, he's in iZombie for one episode.
Oh, wow.
Batman... Oh my God, he was on Two Broke Girls. I didn't even recognize him on Two Broke Girls. I knew that guy from somewhere. Yeah, he's just doing TV one-offs.
Yeah.
He might as well be on The Love Boat.
Sure.
He's perfect for The Love Boat.
I didn't think you had time for Two Broke Girls.
I love
Two Broke Girls. You know what's scary is I saw Charo recently.
Oh my God, really? At a show?
It's kind of scary these days, man.
And she doesn't look that different.
Was she at a show?
No, she was. I don't know. Remember what movie I was watching? But in some movie, the character goes into a weird kind of aside where they encounter Charo in their dream, and she's like Charo. She's like as she appeared in the '70s. She looked exactly. Almost
Charo showed up on a couple episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race too last year. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I thought it was funny. I'm like, hey, it's Charo, and like she has not aged a day.
Wow.
So, all right. So I think we're all on the same page that this is worth checking out.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you want to just do the Luke Cage stuff?
Yeah, we can save the rest for the next show. We'll just do Luke Cage.
All right.
Because we might finish it.
How many of you guys have seen Luke Cage?
I finished it. You haven't started, Bob? Well, Bob hasn't seen it, and Joe hasn't seen it.
I don't get
it.
Go ahead, though. I'm listening.
Did you see Jessica Jones?
No, I did not see Jessica Jones.
I'm
sorely remiss on my Netflix Marvel right now. I haven't seen season 2 of Daredevil.
Oh, my God.
Joe, what are you watching? Get out of that TCM hole.
Exactly. So I'm kind of looking forward to watching them over Christmas, to tell you the truth. But,
So Luke Cage, I won't spoil too much of it, but I mean, it's 13, is it 13 or 10 episodes? I think 13, it's 13, right?
13.
So I would say it's almost a 50-50 split of awesome and craptacular.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the first half of this series.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought the casting was fabulous.
Yeah.
I thought the scenery, I thought the motivations were great. I love the villain, Copperhead.
Yeah.
He was great. There was like a kind of a hard, like a cotton club kind of feel to his club and the political ties with his aunt his cousin, who was running, who it turns out to be Black Mariah, a villain from the comics.
Nice.
But she's a, like a legitimate politician. And Copperhead is feeding her money for her campaign so that she can get elected. She has a strong, like everybody has a strong belief that what they're doing is the right thing for the neighborhood to make it a better place. But Luke Cage sort of steps in and he has ties to people in the neighborhood, but he's not from that neighborhood.
Correct.
So he's from somewhere down south, but you know, he's there to defend the people. He's there to be the voice of their people by just being there. Like he's almost like an obstacle you put in the road.
Correct.
And you know, like no further. You guys can do this, but no further. This is where the line gets drawn. And I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the Misty Knight relationship and her with her boss, detective, who I can't remember the. It's an Italian name.
She was great.
The guy, yeah, and that guy was a character from Iron Fist as well. The detective, he sort of linked the two of them, and when they did the Power Man and Iron Fist comic, he was a character as well.
Okay.
But they do different things with him in this as well. But it's great. It's a really nice cat and mouse game between Cage and Copperhead for the hearts and souls and the minds of the people of Harlem. And then it does a 50, like a three, like a 180. Or let's say maybe a 90 degree is actually more like it. And it veers into a completely different direction with the introduction of Diamondback. And I thought Diamondback's character and motivation was terrible. It was a typical family revenge situation.
Mm.
We get into the origin of Luke Cage, and the origin episode of Luke Cage is fantastic because when he emerges with the strength he's wearing, he has to steal some clothes, and so he ends up with the yellow
so
shirt and the headband and the
pants, the fireman boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a great visual, and it ties in well with the Night Nurse character, who's a big part of this show as well in the second half, who's tied in with all the other shows, of course. So I don't know. To me, the show goes downhill in the second half, and I think that's typical of most of the Marvel Netflix shows. Is that they have strong starts, but by the time you get to the end, you just want it to end.
Wow, I'm listening to you. I have to agree with you on every single point you said, actually.
Okay.
I thought all the characters were great. The casting was phenomenal. I really enjoyed the Claire Temple-Luke relationship in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't mention Shades at all.
No.
Well, he was good.
He was good. But he was one of there's a great supporting cast.
Yeah,
a lot of the guys in the barbershop were fantastic as well.
And I like when Misty Knight picked up, not Misty Knight, Claire Temple took the tag from whoever in Iron Fist we're going to meet. For her karate class.
Mm-hmm.
Misty, I can't remember the comics her name. You know who I'm talking about. Danny Rand's girlfriend.
Well, you know what's funny is I read the first Iron Fist comics recently, and I'm watching the trailer for Iron Fist, and it seems like they're going pretty close to the first Iron Fist story. It's just he's not wearing his green pajamas.
Oh, no green pajamas.
I'm sure that he may, or he may wear something like it down the line, but it's more like he's like wearing street clothes. He's like a street guy. So he's hitchhiked his way back from Asia, and he's trying to find a way to, assert himself at the Rand Corporation.
I think Kevin Cottonmouth just wasn't interesting. No, wait, which one was the second one? Cottonmouth's first one, right?
Yeah, he's the first one, yeah.
And the second guy is, I've forgotten,
Diamondback.
He was awful.
He was over the top. He was like everything that's wrong with a typical movie villain.
Yeah, he was like...
He was over the top. He had a personal grudge.
So he was a 90s superhero movie villain.
Yes, he wasn't interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although the first episode when he shows up, there's a guy, like Luke Cage is just wandering around, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he gets shot. And it sticks. And how does the bulletproof man get shot? And it turns out there's a guy who has a weapon which can hurt him and break his skin. And so they spend the episode on the run, and along the way they learn who it is. And it's basically Luke Cage. He's from the South. His father had an affair with another woman and had a child. And so essentially they're half brothers, but they didn't know it. But they grew up together and they played football together. They dated together. They were like best of friends. And, the guy's mother dies painfully because Luke's mother doesn't want her anywhere near them. So, anyway, there's a very odd recollection of how things go, but basically, Daddy loved you more is the whole motivation for why Diamondback is a bad guy.
Correct.
And for that reason, he's just there. He has no motivation other than to inflict chaos.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care about anybody else's motivations. Or, we've been introduced to all of these different players who all have different goals for why they want to be in charge of Harlem or defend it or whatever the case is. And Diamondback just wants to kill everybody.
Correct.
And exact revenge and be the huge boss. So he pretends he's Luke Cage. He does all these different things. He develops a suit that allows him to fight him. So he actually wears something sort of like his costume in the comics when he fights him at the end. But it's just not satisfying because you don't care about this character. You don't care about their fight. And it's just sort of like, can this end so that I can get on with my life?
Yes, I'm totally with you.
And then when Cottonmouth is out of the picture, I felt bad. I felt I missed that character. I'm like, why did you take this character out midway through the show? Because he's like the best thing about this show.
I agree.
Other than Luke Cage.
Correct.
He's like the Lex Luthor to Superman.
Correct.
Or the Doctor Doom to Reed Richards. He's the opposite number, and he's smart and he's intelligent and. Like, there's all sorts of great setups where he's got the big picture of Biggie Smalls with the crown and stuff in the background. And I don't know if I'm thinking the right rapper guy that died.
Method Man.
Terrible. No, the big fellow that died with, he wore a crown.
It sounds like Biggie.
Yeah, it sounds like Biggie. I think it is Biggie. So, but there's a sound where, like, he moves up in front of the picture of Biggie that's in the background, and Biggie disappears, and you can see the crown just on Cottonmouth's head. Like,
yes.
He thinks he's the king.
You can. And, I know exactly the
and
shot.
And it's like, and I'm like, this is brilliant. This is well shot. This is very smart. This is could be the best Netflix show yet. It certainly had the best writing. And I love the Pops character. He was a fantastic character as well. Very likable. And gave Luke the motivation to be a hero. But yeah, it was just kind of like, it was disappointing. And I found the same thing and it may be the fact that it's trying to fit 13 episodes in and try to build an overall story arc when they should really, some episodes should be self-contained. It should be like a television show where there's a beginning, a middle, and an ending, and a moral.
Okay, running out of time, Kev. What did you think of the music?
The music was great. I thought it was good.
I thought it blended every show together, the music.
Yep.
Yeah, I just thought the music blended. I liked the ending song. I liked the music throughout the thing. I like how the club stayed. I like how she got away at the end.
Oh, I like that they actually had live performances in the show.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah. So would you recommend it?
Yes. First half, then skip to the last episode.
I would still recommend it. I would say you got to see it. If you're a Marvel fan, you want to see everything.
I just think Joe hasn't seen any of this stuff. Jessica Jones, Daredevil.
Well, now we just need Iron Fist next March, and then we're ready for the Defenders.
Joe, I love Daredevil. That's my favorite one still.
Daredevil's really good. I like I said, I've not seen season two yet. I loved season one.
Oh my god, season two has the Punisher and
a surprise.
Nothing but good things about it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So did you guys buy anything?
I did, but we'll have to say that for the next episode, Kevin.
Why? We're coming up on an hour?
You've talked for an hour yourself.
We're kissing an hour right now. So.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so let's wrap it up, and we'll talk about it the next episode, I promise.
Sounds good.
I'm Simon.
Okay. I'm Joe.
I'm Talkie McTalkerson.
Intern.
And if they make it?
Simon forces me to build a wall.
He'll resent you, but he'll...